Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharsky. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Morgan Alexander. He's in for David Reed today. Appreciate George Whitfield for coming in studio with us last hour. And we are pleased to be joined by Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook, who's in studio in Music City today. What's up, man?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
We're excellent. So you're training with George this weekend here. How long have you been working with him?
I've been working with him since high school. I actually met him. I was on a camp. He called it the Rock Tour. He took about 15 quarterbacks all over the country on a big tour bus, and we went to camps and stuff like that. But after my redshirt season, I reached out to him, and I started training with him.
So Westchester, Pennsylvania to Madison, Wisconsin. We were having this discussion earlier. Scott Frost, who's now in Nebraska, was in an interview basically saying, you know, people talk about the cold weather and no one wants to go play in the cold weather. Well, we compete against programs like Wisconsin and Ohio State, Michigan, where it's cold there also, and great players tend to go to those schools. What was the driving force to get you to Madison, Wisconsin from Pennsylvania?
Well, originally I was actually committed to University of Pittsburgh, and then when Coach Christ, he left and the whole staff went with him, he offered me a spot out there, so I took a one-way flight on my visit and then ended up staying there. So I just loved everything about it, and the campus, the people, the school itself. It was awesome.
You know, it's a program that, I mean, it's really since Barry Alvarez seemingly just continues to roll along. And now under Paul Christ, it's amazing the success that you guys have had. What is the key in your mind to that success for Wisconsin over the years? Because when people talk about Wisconsin, they talk about a program. There seems to be a program and system in place where you guys are always really good.
Yeah, I think just the tradition of being, they tell us every day, smart, tough, dependable. That's the three things that we pride ourselves on. And I think that's something that people have been priding themselves on all these years. And that's something we really focus on. And I think that's just something that's ingrained in our program at this point.
Alex Hornibrook in studio with us. Coming off a great year at Wisconsin, what was it like being a game away from the college football playoff, but actually watching the college football playoff take place and not being a part of it?
Yeah, it was definitely disappointing. We wanted to win that championship game.
Because you guys were on a roll.
Yeah, yeah, we hadn't lost the game, and all our goals were still ahead of us. And that was really exciting, that time to be that close to the playoff. Obviously, we didn't make it, and that's still our goal to get there this upcoming season. But, you know, we did a lot of good things, won a lot of games, and learned a lot about the guys in that locker room.
Is there an SEC chip on your shoulder for players in the Big Ten? I mean, what we talk about it here, we obviously believe the SEC is the best conference, and the national championship sort of backed that up, and this year's national championship game backs it up. But everyone we meet from Big Ten country seems to care more about the SEC than the SEC cares about the Big Ten or anyone else in the country. Do you feel a chip on your shoulder when people talk about the SEC being the best, or do you feel the SEC is the best?
Not really. I don't really care too much about all that stuff. To be honest, once I got to college, once you get in Madison, nobody's really talking about the SEC, so you don't have much to worry about. But in high school, I actually heard a lot about it, SEC or Big Ten, but once I got there, I haven't heard much. And, you know, we're not really worried about anybody else, what other people are doing. So, you know, it hasn't really even crossed my mind, to be honest.
How competitive is it? I know you're there with Jarrett Garantano, who we hope to talk to tomorrow. Certainly, his team did not have the success your team had this year, but how competitive is it when you go and work out with George Whitfield, when you're around other quarterbacks out there? Are you guys helpful to one another? Is there a competition as you're going through the drills? How does that work?
I think the main purpose, the reason why we're here, is to get better individually. So, you know, there's kind of two components to it. There's stuff where you're going to be working on something that may be different from another guy, and you're just trying to get better yourself. But then at the end of each day, we usually do something for competition. So, the other day we had the receivers, quarterbacks, even some coaches in on something competing. And then today we were doing a throwing drill. And you know, we're always competing, at the end of workouts like that. It's pretty fun to have that.
Did you win?
I lost in the final round. No, I did not.
Close though.
Yeah, it was close.
How would you rate your performance overall?
In the competition?
Yeah, in the competition today.
I was behind to start, and then I came back and I was winning by a little bit, and then in the last round, I had trouble with a couple.
Who won the competition?
Garantano did.
So what, you know, we talked with George Whitfield, and we asked specifically about Garantano, and he said he's working with touch more than anything else. He's got a strong arm, but needs to work on his touch. When you come and work with George Whitfield here in Nashville, what's the top thing? I know you're working on everything, but what's the top thing you want to work on for your game?
One thing that I've been working on with him is just getting my whole body sequence together in the throw. So you can have a great lower body, you can have a great upper body, whatever you want to have. But if it's not combined at the same moving at the same time, then you're not going to be able to sync it up and throw a good pass.
You know, you were the Orange Bowl MVP and had a big game there. I think a career high in passing yards in that win for you guys. I'm curious, when you're in a program like Wisconsin, known for running backs, known for great offensive line play, known for a running game, but you have these games where I'm sure you guys know you're going to be a much bigger part of the game plan with the passing game. Is that something that you relish, that you look forward to when you're going to have those different games where you know the week leading up to it in preparation that you're going to be a bigger part of it in the passing game? Is that something that you kind of know going into it because of your training there at Wisconsin?
A little bit. It's a little bit different when you're inside in a team, and the way that the coaches lay it out, you don't really know whether it's going to be a big run day or a pass day. It's kind of the flow of the game. So if I hadn't thrown some completed passes in the first quarter, say, we probably wouldn't have passed the ball as much as we did. So you really don't know until you're out there on the field, and each week you're preparing like it's going to be, you know, a record-setting day for yourself. You're not really worried about whether you're going to run the ball more or pass the ball. It's just kind of the flow of the game.
Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook in studio with
us. How much of a quarterback fan are you? Do you watch the draft with curiosity about Mayfield and Darnold and Allen and Rosen? And what'd you think of that whole class?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I like watching. I think every quarterback loves seeing other guys playing, whether it's NFL, college. You just love seeing guys go out there and compete, see what other people are doing. And I was able to meet a couple of them at the Manning Passing Academy this past summer. So I met Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, some of those guys. So it was cool to see them have success.
Now, you're a lefty. Do you always naturally compare yourself to other left-handed quarterbacks out there? Is that who you identify with naturally?
Not really. There's not many lefties, so there's been a couple.
Right.
I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so Mike Vick was one of the lefties out there, but my style of play is not too similar to his. So I haven't really focused on righty or lefty.
Tebow.
It's just kind of quarterbacks. Right. Tebow, there's another one, but you know, there's not too many of them, so I've just kind of been watching quarterbacks as quarterbacks.
When you first throw to a new receiver, is it a big deal? The spin of the ball is obviously different than most guys have ever had before. What's that transition and adjustment like?
Yeah, most receivers actually, they'll never admit that there's a difference. They just say catching a football is a football, and that's kind of the way it should be for them. But I have noticed a little bit, you know, just like the first time somebody's catching the ball, they're not expecting it to spin the opposite way. So once they catch a few passes, they usually settle in and there's no difference. But that first one, obviously the ball is coming a different way, so it looks a little different for them.
From West Chester, Pennsylvania, as you said before, did you play it all against Kyle Shurmur in high school or know of him? Of course, now star quarterback at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played our junior and senior year against each other.
What was your impression of him? I know you didn't defend him, I'm guessing, but watching him in high school and then seeing him now at Vandy.
Yeah, he was an impressive high school player. They threw the ball a bunch. I was in the wing tee offense, and we didn't throw too much, and I would see him throwing it, you know, 20, 30 times a game. He did really well in high school, and he was a great player. And then I never really met him until this past summer, actually, at the Manning camp that I was talking about earlier. But yeah, he's a great kid, and it's good to see him having success too.
So you committed to Paul Christ at Pittsburgh, ended up following him to Wisconsin. How difficult was it to get recruited as a wing tee quarterback? Do you do most of your work in camps leading up to it in the off season, where you actually show coaches you can throw it?
Yeah, I did go to a bunch of camps to try to get noticed, and I think we still threw the ball a little bit. One game we threw it 7 times, one game we threw it 4. One game, actually, the game we were playing Kyle Shurmur's team, there's in the middle of a thunderstorm, and we threw it 38 times, so I don't know how it really worked with
wow.
that. But yeah, I still
had
a little bit of
film. Do you remember your completion percentage that night in the thunderstorm?
I do remember we had to throw the ball because when we were running it, everyone was fumbling because there was rain, and somehow we could throw the ball. People were catching it a little bit better than.
Did you have some touchdown passes that night?
I couldn't tell you my exact stats. I do remember the 38 passes because that was something that was a lot.
Who had the better of it in wins and losses when your teams squared off?
His team beat us both years. Yeah, they were a pretty good team.
They opened up the offense a bit for you, though, your senior year there, right?
Yeah.
With the wing tee? Because you set records at your high school.
Mm-hmm.
So which I don't know if that's easy to do with when you're comparing yourself against other wing tee QBs.
Right. Yeah, so actually, freshman, sophomore, junior was all wing tee, and then senior year, we had a new coaching staff come in, and we actually ran the spread, which probably helped out with all the records and stuff like that. But Yeah, we had a coach there for 40, 50 years. The same family had been coaching our high school, and then senior year we had a new staff come in.
I played receiver in a wing tee offense.
Yeah, so you did a lot of blocking.
They put me on the outside.
A lot of blocking. Yeah,
get out of the way.
I just envision a wing tee coach inheriting a quarterback who can actually throw, and they're like in a lab, like watching the forward pass for the first time. Like, okay, how do we do this? You can complete a pass moving forward doing this. Did you get any modification of the offense before the new coaching staff came in?
A little bit. So I'd gone to a bunch of camps since then, and I kind of knew what I was doing with, or I thought I knew what I was doing with coverages and stuff like that. So I would come to our coach with some plays. I remember one week the team just played straight cover two every play. So I was actually on the internet trying to find cover two beaters, all this stuff. And I brought him like five plays, and I think we scored a touchdown on like three of them. So that was a big week for me. It was pretty fun. But yeah, it was a little bit different in the wing tee than your typical offense.
That's a very solid batting average. I would think you were.
Yep.
Of increasing influence after that.
Right.
That's great.
Do you, your game is not similar to Russell Wilson's from a running perspective. I know that, but played at Wisconsin for a year coming over from NC State. Do you watch a lot of his games for that reason, you being a Wisconsin quarterback as well?
Yeah, we have cut-ups. Probably every college has them. We're just an ongoing cut-up of the plays that you're running. So a lot of the plays we're running, he's ran in the past, so he'll come up on the cut-ups a lot, and we get to see him there.
I was struck by your major right now, Wisconsin. Can you tell everyone what your major is right now?
It's real estate.
Real estate, but it's longer than that. Real estate and urban?
And urban land economics. That's the full name, I think.
How many schools have that major? Do you know? Is that specific to Wisconsin? You don't see that a lot for starting quarterbacks in college football to have that major.
Yeah, I was actually talking about that with my friend Jack Dunn. He came out. He plays receiver for us. That's his major as well. And there's not many places, I don't think, that do have it. It's ranked second in the nation for real estate. We were joking that it's because there's not many real estate programs out there. I don't know. But no, it is an outstanding school to be in, and I enjoy it a lot.
Can you give us 5 solid minutes on the state of urban land economics in America circa 2018?
I'm still learning. I don't know if I could give you 5, but I've taken a couple classes in it, and I like what I've learned so far. So
things Wisconsin is known for: football, beer, and real estate.
We just had a list of the, I think it was from USA Today, the 10 cities where people get drunk the most.
Yes. Did you see this yesterday online?
7 of the 10 were in Wisconsin, and Madison was number 3.
Madison was 4, which shocked me. I thought it would be higher.
Well, the only non-Wisconsin city in the
Green
top
Bay was
5
was,
Fargo, North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
This is for the entire country. Drunkest cities in America.
Wausau, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Do you have the top 10 in front of you?
I'm pulling it up. Yeah,
What is the... None of us have been to Madison. I look at Madison admiringly. It looks to me like a fantastic college town.
Mm.
Not just on the drinking front, but what's it like as a place to go to school outside of the classroom and the football?
Yeah, I think the way people look at it when they haven't been there, they just think it's a bunch of farms and cheese and beer, all that stuff. And that's kind of what I thought before I went out there. But when you get there, it's a beautiful campus. It's in the middle of two lakes. You know, there's tons of things to do there. It's not just the middle of nowhere, which is what I thought it was, but you know, it's an amazing place, great people, and you know, it's just a great place to be for college.
It's a huge school too, right? I mean, the enrollment's enormous.
I couldn't tell you the exact number. I think it might be
it's a lot.
Maybe. Yeah. Whatever it is, there are a lot of people. You'll see people you never seen before every day.
Yeah, top 10 cities with the highest percentage of adults who drink excessively. That was the And Wisconsin is in 7 of these.
And that says adults. So that's probably adults, only counting 21 and up. And I suspect in Madison, Wisconsin, there are probably some 18, 19, 20-year-olds that aren't being included on that list.
Top 5 is Fargo at 5, Madison, Wisconsin at 4, Appleton at 3, Eau Claire at 2, and Green Bay 1. Those are your top 5 in the nation.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. I got a buddy from Green Bay, so I don't know what they're all doing up there. But
it's a lot of places where there's not a lot going on, and then a college town.
Does it make you proud when you hear those stats? I feel like we're interviewing them now, like the teams before the draft. Like, this is not a trick question, but I feel like teams would ask you something like this. So we've got the top 5 most drunken cities in America, and Madison is one of them. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know. They're great people. They can do whatever they want. I have no say in what they're doing, so... it's a fun place to be.
Tell us about this talent show and the retweet from the Zach Brown Band after your performance.
Yeah, that's just something I've been doing. I learned my freshman year of high school, and I just kind of play. I'll play in my apartment at night when I get home, stuff like that. So, you know, I never really went out and played in front of people, so that was the first time I figured
what do you play?
It's mostly just some chords, some country songs, stuff like that.
Guitar?
Yep, guitar.
And you were the video's out there, you're playing Chicken Fried
right.
by Zach Brown Band.
Yeah.
But your mom wanted to come, but you didn't necessarily give her all the details on how to show up, because you just said this is your first time performing publicly, like in a big setting. A lot of people were in that room, too.
Yeah, yeah. The lights were dark, though, so you couldn't see me. It was all right. But yeah, my mom wanted to come out to watch, but nobody's moms really go to the deal. So everyone's getting mad at me, but their mom's not there anyway. So yeah.
You're in Nashville now. Do you feel the pull to go down to Broadway and put a guitar on and go play for some people at some point while you're here?
Right. No, I'm here to train. That's the main purpose. But I'll probably listen to some music because I do enjoy country music a lot.
That's so give us an example of something so minute within your form or technique that you are working on constantly. Like, is there one motion or one drop of the 7-step drop that you're working on that maybe you've struggled to either get down or you'll never stop actually practicing that?
One thing we were working on today, it's just we talk index finger, so you can talk your whole motion, all this stuff, but it's so specific to your index finger. And when you're throwing some deep balls, some balls with touch, if you're just kind of letting your arm come through, you're not going to be as accurate as if you're actually trying to seek out a target with that index finger. So we'll stand with somebody with their hand up, and we'll act like we're cutting their wrist off with our index finger when we're throwing, and that actually helps out with accuracy and dropping the ball in, stuff like that.
And we were talking to George, and he was kind of going through, and I think you have the notes in front of you, but going through your day, and he talked about lunchtime is where you're also watching film. And he said one of the most beneficial things is the quarterbacks get to see, while they're eating their lunch, what the other quarterback was doing, and then they get in their own head about, hey, am I doing that also? Maybe it's something great. Maybe it's something that mechanically is off a little bit. Do you notice anything like that watching other quarterbacks during this film session that you either admire or say, hey, I need to work on that as well?
Yeah.
Is there a specific example that you saw?
There's on the field, it helps out a lot too. If you're just listening to the coaching points that you get, you're missing out on 2/3 of the coaching points that are out there when you're out there on the field. So with George, he's going to say a lot of things to a lot of quarterbacks. And if you're just trying to listen to what he's saying to you, you're missing out on a bunch of things. So I'm just trying to learn as much as I can. So he might be telling, you know, Jarrett one thing, and it might not apply to me in that certain situation, but it probably will at one point. So you might as well listen up.
Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook in studio with us.
I'm wondering, as you're exposed to so many different people, if everything tends to be consistent, or if you see conflicts between, George told us about how he will make every effort to talk to your coaches at Wisconsin and line things up. But then you go to the Manning passing camp, and I'm sure you're at other stuff. How are you hyper aware of when there's any circumstance where something might contradict something else, and the hierarchy you need in your head to know which one's the right one?
Yeah, I think you have to be as a quarterback. There's so many different coaches from people that are, you know, when you're growing up in middle school to the time that I'm in college right now, there's so many different things I've heard that contradict each other. And I think it's just knowing what's right and having a set of, I guess, rules or principles of how you're throwing the football, knowing what's right. And then you're kind of taking things that you can tweak and add into your game that makes sense. A lot of the times when you're going the Manning camp, things like that, they're not there to change your mechanics. If you throw the ball, that's kind of how you throw the ball. So, you're definitely thinking as you're getting coached and trying to apply those things.
And when you're at the Manning camp, I mean, they're very hands-on, right? Peyton and Eli are there. They're working with you the whole time. Do you become hyper-aware when Peyton Manning is standing behind you in a drill and you're working on something?
They're actually pretty cool. So they were hanging out with us all week, so we got to know them a little bit. And no, they weren't all breathing down our necks. It was more us working out and being out there with the other quarterbacks and seeing how everybody threw the ball and how we interacted together. It was a fun experience.
Do you get a chance to go and ask them anything, or is it more just hanging out and you're working with the younger quarterbacks that are there as an instructor?
A little bit of both. One thing they say is you have Peyton and Eli there all week, so you can ask any questions you want. That's one thing they made sure that we knew, so whenever we could ask questions, and a lot of other people were asking questions as well, so always listening to try to see what they were saying.
Alex, so what is recruitment like for your brother compared to what it was like for you? Letter-wise,
it is a polar opposite. I was just actually home this past week, and he's getting all these offers. It's pretty crazy. It's really exciting to see for me.
Retweeting everything that he, every offer he receives, it looks like.
Yeah, I have
some major players in this.
Right. I don't tweet too much, but I'll retweet when my brother's tweeting something. But I was just home and he came home from school and I was waiting there. He had like 30 letters just sitting in the mail. And I said, "Do you get this every day?" And he kind of laughed and he's like, "Usually it's more." I didn't have that coming out of high school. It's pretty crazy to see him though.
How actively are you recruiting him to Wisconsin?
Hold on.
To be honest, I'm not really recruiting him anywhere. Whatever's best for him and, whatever place that he likes the most and the place that he can succeed at is the best for him. So wherever he decides, I'm going to be fine with. And obviously when he comes out to Wisconsin, I'm going to show him everything and, you know, give him a great visit and stuff like that. I'll tell him everything there is about it. But, I'm not pressuring him to make a decision.
And I'm assuming he's been there a lot as your brother to go watch you play, right?
Yeah, he's been there a lot. He's seen the campus, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he kind of knows what it's like. I think he might visit out there sometime in the future, though.
Do you play other sports?
In high school, I played baseball, and I stopped playing basketball going into high school.
Did you attend camps for those sports the way you have for football?
No. When I was younger, I guess everybody's just kind of playing in the summer and stuff like that, go to a few camps. But for football, I went to a lot more camps. And then after my freshman year, I just specifically focused on football because pitching and quarterback, and it's a little bit different. Some people do it and do it well together, but I just wanted to focus on football.
Did you throw hard as a pitcher?
I was more the guy that would hit all the spots. I had a lot of movement on my fastball, stuff like that. So, probably average, above average throwing speed, but I was more the accurate, kind of like in football, I guess, too.
2 years ago, Wisconsin had two first-round draft picks, big-time guys in Watt and Ramczyk. This year, your first guy didn't go till the fourth round. How much buzz is there about that and about, I'm sure, the university and everybody connected there wanting guys to go high next year and beyond?
Yeah, we had a lot of talent on that team last year, and obviously TJ Watt, Ryan Ramczyk, they're unbelievable players making an impact in the NFL already. And the guys that we had this past year is Fumagalli, Sitchi, some guys like that. They're some great players too, so I know they're going to do well at the next level, and we're happy for what they've done so far.
Things will get crazy, man, as the draft comes up. Decisions for you as a redshirt player, and who knows? Best of luck in all of that.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time. By the way, the draft next year could be here in Music City.
Come on
possibly.
Back.
Yep, hopefully.
Good awesome. Luck, man. We'll
Thanks
be following you.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Alex Hornibrook, the quarterback for Wisconsin, has been in studio with us. Great visit from him. Chad, we can wrap it up with some phone calls coming up.
We can indeed. We can jump back into the Preds topic from earlier. If you have not heard, the Preds endorsed a mayoral candidate today. Your thoughts on that? Good move, bad move? 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
And Paul, you were a wreck yesterday about Simon playing in his final game with the soccer group he's grown up with. We'll find out when we come back how you were last night. He's nodding.
Yes.
I see tears welling up as you say that.
I'm going to hold it together.
I'm almost uncomfortable right now to look at Paul. He's getting so emotional over there.
If you haven't done it yet, stop into Brentwood Jewelry and check out the Salem E Designer line. One-of-a-kind bracelets, rings, necklaces, earrings, all designed by Salem Amamaly. Salem is the master jeweler at Brentwood Jewelry. And for over 50 years, Salem has crafted many jeweled works of art. And now Brentwood Jewelry offers these affordable, signed, original designs to you. Over the last 50 years, Brentwood Jewelry has helped thousands of couples find the perfect rings. They have a large selection of settings and diamonds to choose from, or if you're looking for a custom ring, they will design and create that for you in store by one of their master craftsmen. That's what they did for Claire. She loves her ring. Plus, Brentwood Jewelry has a large selection of timepieces for both men and women that you can choose from. If you're in need of a fine watch repair, go see Sandy, the watchmaker at Brentwood Jewelry and Gifts. CW21 certified. His knowledge of vintage and modern watches, it comes from years of experience that are invaluable. If you need an appraisal or for your ring or other piece of fine jewelry, go check out Brentwood Jewelry, GIA certified gemologist on staff. They use only GIA appraisal standards. Brentwood Jewelry, exceptional style, exceptional deals every day. They're located in the heart of Brentwood on Church Street, and you can visit them online at brentwoodjewelry.com.